And they use the idea because the Bible doesn't condemn it. But there are other things that they would say, no, even though the Bible doesn't talk about it, we know that that's not right. It's sinful. It's wrong. And I think when we talk about addiction, I don't know anyone that would say, yeah, that's beneficial. That's good. That's profitable for people. No, we all look at addiction, even though the Bible doesn't address it, and we would say, no, that's wrong. It destroys people. It's sinful. It's something that needs to be taken care of. And therefore, I think it's a good point, because the question comes about, well, how do I know it's wrong? How do I know it's sinful? And what we have to understand is that the Bible does condemn sin in a direct manner. There are lists of sins, such as adultery, fornication, kidnapping, murder, homosexuality, the list goes on and on. But there are some things the Bible doesn't talk about. And what we need to understand is the Bible does address those subjects, not directly, but indirectly by what we call biblical principles. And there's a lot of people that just don't get that concept. And it all starts this way. As Christians, what is our goal in our life? Well, our goal needs to be to live such a life that I'm making a claim to godliness. That's my goal. I want to live a life that I'm making a claim to godliness. That's what I'm showing people. Peter uses that idea in 1 Peter chapter 3. He's talking about women and the way they adorn themselves. He says, adorn yourselves in a way that you're making a claim to godliness. In other words, your outward adornment does not hinder or affect or hide the true goal of what you want, and that is to let people see that inner beauty. Let that come out. Well, then we can ask the question, is it wrong? Is it sinful? Is it beneficial? Is it beneficial to me who trying to make a claim to godliness, to be salt to the world and light? And I think we can clearly see, not just with addiction, but some of these things that lead to addiction, some of these things that people say are right, they really are not, because they hinder us from making that claim. You see, my goal is not to try to get as much of the world in my life as I can. My goal is to make a claim to godliness, and it's sometimes difficult to live in this world and not be of this world. So one of the principles that the Bible talks about, especially in the New Testament, is the principle of enslavement. Being enslaved to something. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. See the principle that Paul's talking about. He's not talking about addiction here, but he's talking about a principle, or a principle can be brought out in it. I'm not going to do everything because I don't want certain things to be master over me. I want Jesus to be my master. Let's stay in Romans 6, but go down a few verses, verse 16. Romans 6, verse 16. Paul writes these words, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey?" And that's what happens. Addiction becomes your master. You have to obey it. You have this, you lose all self-control. Actually, you don't lose it, but you feel like you've lost it. Let's stay in Romans. Let's go to the end of the book, Romans 16, verse 18. As Paul is discussing a group of sinful men there, look at how he describes these men living in sin. He says, "For such men," Romans 16, 18, "for such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetite." So, yeah, the Bible doesn't talk specifically about addiction, but it does talk about it in principle. Addiction makes you a slave of obedience to that which you are addicted. We could talk about another principle of destruction. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where Paul writes these words. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, he says. Now, let me do a little aside here, because there's a lot of people that know Bible and context very well. Someone might say, well, 1 Corinthians 3, he's talking about the church as the temple of God, the church as a whole. And I understand that, but we're talking about principle. And three chapters later, in chapter 6, he does talk about the individual also as a temple of God, because what? God dwells in us. So by principle, we could destroy this temple of God that is us. And what will happen? How serious? God will destroy him. And so there's all sorts of principles when we talk about addiction that clearly show us, as well as other things, that they are wrong, that they are sinful, that they are not a profit for us making a claim to godliness. So some of the questions we should be asking, not just with addiction, but some of these other things, is this bringing me closer to God? Is this bringing me closer to God or farther away? I think it's clear with addiction, the answer to that question. Number two, is this promoting morality in my life and or others? The thing about addiction is it not only promotes immoral behavior, and that's how it destroys. There are people today who never thought that they would become thieves. They steal from others because they're addicted. There are people today who never thought in their lives that they would ever lose their family, lose their home, and be homeless. But it has happened because they're addicted. It leads to immoral behavior. And not only that, it can lead others or destroy others' lives all around you. Number three, is this helping me to keep balance in my life? So much of life, so much of Christianity is ingrained in that balance. Keeping our priorities straight. Keeping the first things the first things. And again, it gets difficult living in this world but not being of this world. And so as you look at addiction, all those answers are pretty easy. It's clear that's not something I want to even fathom in my life. And as Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount, in correcting some of the interpretations that didn't go far enough or didn't start early enough. It's not just a matter of don't be addicted, but what? Like they say to kids in school, just say no. Don't even try it. And one of those popular addictions called drugs. So the first point I wanted to make is that it's a great way of showing us that the Bible doesn't have to condemn everything directly for us as Christians to know something is wrong, destructive, or sinful. Let's look at this passage in Proverbs 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and in verse 28 I want to look at. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. I want you to think of that picture, right? Probably today we'd probably be like a house without security cameras and powerful locks and all of that, you know. You're foolish you don't have those things. You're not safe. In those days it was a city. You had to have big, strong walls. If your city was up on a hill, that was even better. Solomon says, a man without control over his spirit is like a city without walls, easily broken into. And that's addiction. That's a big thing of what we're talking about, is it takes away your control. What addiction will do, it will first catch you. It will first catch you. Got that? It will then control you. It will then control you, and then it will destroy you. Catch you, control you, and destroy you. Let's look at Titus chapter 2. Titus, the second chapter, verse 11 and 12. As you're turning there, I love this passage because grace is kind of personified. In other words, Paul talks about grace like a person. Almost like the first thing I think of is a grandparent coming for the holidays. Some of you might be having grandparents or relatives come for the holidays. The second one is grace is pictured as a teacher. The teacher has arrived. So in Titus 2:11, verse 12, for the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God has appeared. It's shown up. What is it? Bringing salvation to all men. Grace has appeared. Grace has shown, and it brings salvation, right? Grandparents often come with what? Gifts. Isn't that wonderful? What do you got for me, Grandma? What do you have for me, Grandfather? Well, grace brings salvation. But it also teaches us. He says, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And here's the positiveness. And teaches us, instructs us to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That word sensibly there is a word very ingrained with self-control. To live sensibly is to live in control, to be alert, to know what's going on and to be in control of it. When we talk about addiction, none of that happens. It catches you, it controls you, it destroys you. So as we introduce our second and last point this morning, let me introduce it this way. When I mentioned addiction, and I might have led you into this mindset, you might have thought of a particular type of addiction, a very common, maybe you thought of drugs, alcohol, smoking, maybe you thought of those things. But when we talk about addiction, there's a lot of different ways and a lot of different types of addiction. Number one, we can talk about, as we already discussed, legal versus illegal. Some people think, well, if it's a legal addiction, then it's okay. There's no problem. People bought into that whole idea of marijuana being no big deal, but if you look at it from what it does and what it can do to you physically, mentally, it is a big deal. But here's the thing, here's the point. Even if something is permissible, even if it's a legal addiction, so often it leads to illegal. Whether it's an illegal addiction, or if it's a illegal activity, that's what often happens. Because there's something that psychologists refer to as, I'm trying to think of the way I've lost the word here, of basically, it's not the word acceleration, but it's that concept. In other words, oftentimes when someone gives themselves into a life of sin, they might think and they might deceive themselves, I'm just going to commit that sin over and over and over. But what happens? Well, two things happen. Number one, the more that you sin, the easier it becomes. We call that the hardening of the heart, the searing of the conscience. But it doesn't usually just stop there. There is this acceleration principle that you sin because what? Well, there's some type of thrill, some type of enjoyment, some type of a payback there. But what happens is the next time it has to be accelerated. It has to be more of a thrill. It has to be more dangerous. The payoff has to be bigger. And so that's how oftentimes the legal turns into the illegal. You look at some criminal and his record. Oftentimes you see a pattern, right? You see a pattern of starting off with small crimes, leading up to then medium crimes, then to what we would call the big felonies. And that's because there's this principle. and is alive and well in addiction. It's not just that it starts with a small little addiction. It can get out of hand and escalate. We could talk about things like a substance addiction versus a non-substance, a physical addiction versus a mental addiction. We can even talk about the different types of addiction like substance, alcohol, drugs, smoking. We could talk about addiction to activities like gambling, shopping, or that carnal activity between a man and a woman. You could talk about it in terms of being addicted to money or the accumulation of money, wealth, fame, popularity, and the list goes on and on. There's different types of things you can be addicted to. And so what I'm trying to get across to you is, as a Christian, you may think, well, I'll never do that drug thing, so I don't have to worry about that. But there are Christians that are addicted to shopping. And they spend and they spend and they destroy their families, their income, all through addiction to shopping. So, as we talk about these, whatever the addiction is, here's my second point. And this is a point I'm making because it's funneling down to the next lesson I want to do. It really kind of starts that lesson of that particular addiction we want to talk about. And that is, I want you to be aware that addictions don't usually happen just by yourself. There are people that help you become addicted. There are people that encourage you to do those things that lead to addiction. And you need to be aware of that. Now, it might be a 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, bad company corrupts good morals. That's obviously something that we need to watch out for. Hanging around the wrong people. And sometimes we get deceived like that. Sometimes young people, oh, they're not that bad. They're really nice. I never thought I could be around a group of people like that. But they've accepted me. They're really nice people. Well, they might be really nice people, but if they are pressuring you to do those things that lead to addiction, they're not really your friends. They're not really good people. I want to talk about a type of help to addiction that oftentimes in our society, they escape completely innocent. They escape scot-free. I want to talk about a particular, and this is just an example that can be multiplied. I want to talk about a particular industry. But I'm going to take that industry and personify. I'm going to talk about a person. Talk about this industry like a person. Now, this might seem weird. Tamara likes to watch those murder mystery shows and about the hunt down for the serial killer. She likes those types of shows. I've learned in that in order to be considered a serial killer, you have to kill 3 people. And it could be over a long period of time. It doesn't have to be all at once. I want to talk to you about a person that is responsible every year for the death of 95,000 people just in the United States. This person is responsible for 95,000 deaths every year in the U.S. Now, let me read the actual quote here. This is from the CDC. Excessive use of alcohol is responsible for 95,000 deaths in the U.S. each year. But as a society, we don't look at the alcohol industry as being that responsible for those deaths. The alcohol industry has marketing teams to make the use of their product look attractive innocent, and fun. And in fact, they tell you they are being responsible, because in every commercial they tell you, drink responsibly. And they've done their duty. Well, the problem with that is they're pushing and promoting a product that, as you partake of it, keeps you from being responsible and making those wise, responsible judgments. Now, I'm not saying they make people become excessive in their use and addicted to alcohol, but they're there to help. What you see in the commercials are the fun times. It doesn't get better than this. It looks innocent. It looks fun. It looks controllable. When I was in high school, I lost 3 classmates who were in a car driving, having some fun on a Friday night. They didn't drink a lick of alcohol. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And a drunk driver took their lives because he decided to get behind the wheel after drinking excessively. You see, they don't show you on the commercials mom and dad at the funeral weeping nonstop over the loss of their teenage child. Because that doesn't sell. But that's the reality. Now, there is a particular addiction that we as a society and a lot in the government have come down hard on. And as I mentioned this, you'll automatically know that there's a different viewpoint we have of smoking than we do of drinking. I would say most people would say smoking is more dangerous than drinking. And I didn't look at the numbers, but I would imagine the numbers for alcohol-related deaths is going to be higher than smoking deaths, tobacco deaths. But that's why we've come down hard on it. We've told people that it's unhealthy. We've told people it's dangerous, that it will kill you. But the other addictions, we've allowed the marketing to go on and on and on. When's the last time you saw a billboard for cigarettes? When's the last time you've seen a commercial for alcohol? I think you get my point. There are people and industries that are there to help people and promote people to do those things that are addictive. And just as you would say, I don't want to be around people that are going to put pressure on me and going to try to influence me to those bad things. We need to be aware of that. Why is it important? Because as I look over the last 20, 25 years, I see Christians, when it comes to these addictive things, becoming softer in their view of those things. Oh, there's not so bad. 20, 25 years ago, there was a much stronger view of those things. But now there are still Christians who have no problem drinking alcohol and drinking quite a bit of it socially. Christians gambling, saying, oh, it's no big deal. We don't see the dangers of it because we live in a society that tries to hide that side of it. And not only that, it's a question of, is it profitable? And I don't think we're asking that question. I don't think we're asking the right questions. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 as we bring our lesson to a close. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where Paul writes, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Why do we as Christians want to be filled with the Spirit instead of filled with alcohol? It's because we're making a claim to godliness. And that alcohol will not help us in that claim. But I'll tell you what, being filled with the Spirit will. And that's why you're here this morning, to be filled up with the Spirit. We're going to get ready to sing some songs, and that's what Paul says in this particular context. One of the ways you fill up yourself with the Spirit is by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And my last passage I want to look at is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where Paul talks about the promise of God when it comes to control and temptation. Paul writes, "No temptation is overtaking you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." See, one of the things about addiction is people think they don't have any control. They do have control. They just don't want to tap into it. In our next lesson, we'll talk a little bit more about how do you overcome this if you're lost in it. But ultimately, what it is learning the tools to help you gain control of your decisions and gain control of your life. And it all starts with the right desires. Could we say that what Christ wants is us to be addicted to Him? Maybe we could say that. I like to put it this way. With Jesus Christ, we need to have a magnificent obsession with Him. Every day we can't live without Him. Every moment He needs to be part of our life. And that's a wonderful obsession to have that will help you in this life, that will give you the joy of Christ, that will fill you up with love that He has for each and every one of us. But the great thing about that obsession is that it's going to lead to a better life after this one. A life where there is no COVID or death. I'm still thinking about the losses we obtained this year. And it's still painful. No sorrow. But most importantly, no sin. That's the future that we have in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Christ in that way, please let us know how we can help you. We want to sit down and study with you. We have a baptistry who can baptize you into Christ. We want to help you make Jesus Christ your master, to be enslaved to the one that truly will make you free. Thank you so much for listening today, and let's now open up our hearts as we sing praises to God.